Chapter 8. Lexi scowled out the window at that WOKQ van parked in front of the Brew and Bake, her fists clenched so tightly the nails bit into her palms. So, the television station really is doing a piece on the other bakery, Lexi thought, as she watched the camera crew unpack the van. Her heart sank when she compared the front room of the Brew and Bake, bustling with customers, to her own empty one. A movement on the sidewalk caught Lexi's eye. A customer? No, it was just the orange tiger cat that lived in Victor Nesbaum's antique store. He was an indoor cat, but sometimes he slipped out when the door was open. Lexi always tried to herd the cat back to Victor's whenever she saw him outside. She stepped out onto the sidewalk, bending down to try to lure the cat over so she could pick him up and bring him back to Victor. "Here, kitty." She stuck out her hand to the cat, who eyed her warily. Behind her, she heard Victor's door open.
"Oh, that's where you are,"
Victor said to the cat. He pushed the door wide and gestured to the interior of the store.
"Get back in here."
The cat turned, flicked his tail in Lexi's direction, and then trotted off into the store.
"He likes to get outside, but then doesn't know what to do with himself,"
Victor laughed.
"Say, I'm glad I ran into you. I sure would like to taste whatever it was you were baking yesterday afternoon. It smelled delicious in my store."
Lexi stood and crossed her arms over her chest. "Oh, you want to taste my baked goods and not those from across the street?" Victor's brow creased, and a sheepish look spread across his face.
"Oh, did you see me over there? I was only trying out a sample, so I could speak with authority when I said your pastries were the best."
Lexi thawed at the sincere look on the man's face. "Oh, okay then. Come on over, and you can try out my great-grandmother's famous scones. I made a slight variation to the recipe yesterday. That's what I was baking."
"Perfect. I'll just lock up."
Victor reached inside his shop, grabbed his cane, then flipped the lock on the door before closing it tight. Lexi held her own door open while Victor shuffled down the walk, nodding to her as he stepped inside the cup and cake. Behind the bakery case, Lexi pulled out the glass pedestal cake plate on which she'd arranged the scones and placed it on top of the case so Victor could get a better look. "Which one do you want?" she asked. Victor frowned at the pile, his eyes inspecting each scone. His brows furrowed and he rubbed his chin.
"They all look so good."
His cane fell to the floor next to the case with a clatter, and Lexi bent down to pick it up for him.
"Thanks,"
he said, then pointed to one of the scones on top.
"I'll take that one,"
Lexi smiled. "If you want, you can take a seat at the table, and I'll bring it over, along with some coffee or tea. I'd love to know what you think of it."
"That would be wonderful."
Victor turned and made his way to the self-serve station.
"I can get my own tea."
Lexi put the scone on a small plate and took it over to the table where Victor sat with a steaming cup of tea in front of him. She slid into the chair across from him, eagerly watching the expression on his face as he took his first bite.
"This is delicious,"
he said, chewing thoughtfully.
"I particularly like the crumbly cinnamon and sugar top. You don't normally get that on a scone. I think you have a winner here."
"Thanks," Lexi beamed proudly as the bells over the door jingled to announce Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen. The four ladies greeted Lexi and Victor before marching purposely to one of the tables and slinging their purses over the backs of the chairs. Ruth gingerly placed several rolled-up papers she'd carried in under her arm on the center of the table.
"What have you got there?"
Victor asked. "These are the blueprints for the old sewer system." Ruth unrolled one of them, spreading it on the table and holding down the ends with her hands, while Nance, Ida, and Helen rummaged in their purses for something to weigh it down.
"You don't say,"
Victor pushed his glasses up on his nose and leaned over for a better look at the print.
Where'd you get those?
Down at the town hall, Nan said, producing a small stapler from her purse and plunking it down on one corner of the blueprint.
Oh, I thought you had to wait ages to get those old prints run off down there.
Victor returned his attention to his scone.
Normally you do,
Ida said, placing the small rock she'd taken out of her purse on another corner of the print.
But it turns out someone had just recently gotten a copy of these, so Meredith had them right on her desk, waiting to put them away.
Course it helps to know someone down there.
Helen threw down her purse and grabbed a stoneware mug from the self-serve coffee station, then placed it on the third corner of the blueprint.
What do you plan to do with them?
Victor asked. Ruth plunked her smartphone down on the last corner.
We're investigating the murder.
Murder?
Victor's gray brows met his hairline.
You know, the skull they found out there.
Nan's tilted her head toward the end of the street, where the sewer work was still ongoing.
I didn't realize there was an official murder investigation going on about that.
Victor narrowed his eyes at Nan's.
Well, there isn't. I mean, not officially. The police don't seem interested in investigating. They said the murder was too long ago. But Ruth, Helen, Ida, and I run our own detective agency. So we've taken it upon ourselves to find out the truth.
Nan's reached into her purse and pulled out a business card, which she handed to Victor. Victor looked down at the card.
Brookridge Falls Ladies Detective Club. That's impressive. That sounds like fun. Have you solved any good cases?
Nan's nodded.
We work with the police all the time and have helped them solve lots of cases. But of course, I can't be more specific due to confidentiality and all that.
Of course, I understand,
Victor said.
But what makes you so sure the person who belonged to the skull met with a suspicious death?
Nance glanced at the others.
Well, we're not entirely sure, but we have it on good authority. A skull had a bullet hole in it.
Victor gasped.
A bullet hole? Well, that sure does sound like foul play. Or maybe suicide. Either way, we need to investigate, Helen said. He could have family members that have been wondering about him all these years. Of course.
Victor slid his chair over next to Helen and bent his head over the blueprints.
So you're looking for a way into the old sewer system then?
Ruth nodded.
We're hoping we can find some clues as to what happened back then.
But how will you get in? I hear all the entrances are being sealed off with this new sewer project,
Victor said.
They are, Ida answered. But we've learned there are some underground entrances, and we plan to find out exactly where they are.
Do you have any idea who the victim is?
Victor glanced at Helen out of the corner of his eye.
None at all,
Helen said.
We only know he's been down there for decades, maybe 60 or 70 years even. Well, this sounds kind of dangerous,
Victor said.
And exciting, Nance added.
It does sound rather exciting. An old buck like me could use some excitement. But you ladies could get hurt.
Victor put his hand on Helen's arm.
Maybe I should accompany you.
Maybe.
Helen, Nance, Ruth, and Ida exchanged uncertain glances. Lexi could tell they were torn between being polite and not wanting to let Victor in on their plans.
I'm not sure, Nance said. Lexi's the only one we ever let help us with our investigations.
Perhaps we should take a look at these plans first,
Victor suggested.
Yes, let's.
Helen re-anchored the corner that had come loose from under the mug, and the five gray heads bent over the blueprint. This is the downtown section. Nan's pointed to something on the upper left. That's where the manhole cover for the main entrance is.
Perfect. We'll just go in through there,
Helen said. You can't, Lexi cut in, and everyone turned to look at her. Jack said it could only be opened with some special tool. It's too heavy for you. And besides, it's right in the middle of downtown. What are you going to do? Stop the traffic so you can climb in the sewer hole?
We'll just have to find some other way, Nan said,
picking up one of the other rolls and spreading it on the table. The five of them studied it for several minutes without finding an easy entrance to the sewer.
There's nothing on this one. Let's check the next one, Ruth said.
Victor looked at his watch.
Darn, I better get back to the store. I'm meeting a customer who wants to consign some vintage jewelry. You ladies will let me know if you need my assistance later on, won't you?
The four ladies murmured a yes, and Victor stood, then nodded at each of them. Lexi thought she saw him wink at Helen, but she couldn't be sure. He pulled his wallet out of his back pocket and turned to Lexi.
What do I owe you?
Oh, don't worry about that. It's on the house, Lexi said as she walked him to the door. We neighbors have to stick together.
Ain't that the truth?
Victor glanced knowingly across the street, then headed out.
I thought he'd never leave, Nan sighed.
Yeah, imagine him trying to hone in on our investigation, Helen said.
I think he's kind of sweet on you, Helen,
Ida teased. Helen's cheeks turned pink.
What? Don't be silly. He's way too old for me.
Nan's, Ruth, and Ida raised their brows at her. Helen looked at Lexi and smoothly changed the subject.
Did you ask Jack if the police found out anything about the murder when they were down in the sewer?
No, they didn't find anything, and he made it sound like they aren't going to pursue it anymore, Lexi said.
I figured that, Nan's answered. So, it's up to us.
Right. Lexi chewed her bottom lip. She wasn't sure how involved she wanted to get in this whole sewer business. Victor was right. It did seem dangerous. And the murder was decades old, so who really cared? But she didn't want to disappoint Nan's, and she knew the older woman would go ahead, no matter what. Lexi knew she couldn't talk Nan's out of it. Her only hope was that Nan's would get too busy with the Historical Society project to have time to investigate.
I did find something in Jack's basement you guys might be interested in, Lexi said.
Really?
Nan's raised a brow at Lexi.
Yeah, he had a stack of newspapers from 1948 down there. I saved them out for you guys.
Oh, that's wonderful. Does it have articles from the bank robbery?
Ida asked.
I don't know. I didn't read any of them.
Let's see them. Ruth looked around the shop. Where are they?
Sorry, I left them at Jack's, Lexi said. But I promised to pick them up tonight and bring them to work tomorrow. So if you guys are going to stop by, I'll have them.
We'll make a point of it, won't we, girls?
Ida asked.
Of course,
Nan's answered, and then turned to Lexi.
Now, let's get back to these sewer plans. I don't see any entrances we can use on either of these.
The ladies rolled out the rest of the sheets and pored over them. Finally, Nan said,
I don't think we have the whole town here.
Lexi frowned down at the papers. It sure looks like it.
No, Nance insisted. Look, here is Adams Street, then Berkeley, then Maple, but it ends at Cedar. This section of town here is missing. You're right, Ida said.
Wait, let's lay them out end to end. Lexi grabbed the papers to do just that when the bell over the door jingled, and Lexi turned to see a middle-aged man enter the bakery.
A customer. She dropped the papers, a smile springing to her lips, as she made her way behind the bakery case from which, hopefully, the customer would be making some purchases. Can I help you? She asked.
Why, yes. I'd like one of these scones, if I may.
The man pointed to the glass pedestal, and Lexi grabbed a square of waxed paper and selected the largest scone. Is that to eat here? Lexi asked.
Yes.
We have coffee and tea over at the self-serve station, if you'd like, she offered. The man looked over as he pulled out his wallet.
I'll take a large coffee, too.
Lexi rang up the purchase, and the man ambled over to pour himself a coffee, while Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen moved the papers that were spilling over onto the other tables. The man took a seat, and the ladies bent back over the blueprints, talking in hushed tones. Lexi busied herself, cleaning off the self-serve station.
Oh, psst!
Lexi whirled around to see the man grabbing at his tongue while making choking and gurgling noises. Are you okay? What happened? Lexi rushed to his side.
Okay!
The man glared at Lexi as he continued to grab at his tongue.
I should say not.
Nance, Ruth, Ida, and Helen had stopped talking and were staring at the man. Lexi raised her brows at him. I don't understand. What's the matter?
I'll tell you what the matter is,
he said, stabbing his finger at the half-eaten pastry.
There's a big clump of hair in my scone.